wohl.
Ist noch wohl. Okay, everything looks good back here.
So, the three of you, and let's see, myself, and Marika is not here, and occasionally Melissa will all be doing checking of the transcriptions. So this is the second pass transcriptions we're receiving, and that's pretty straightforward. I think you all basically have an idea of what's involved. But the extra step that we're asking you to do in this case is to look at the silent regions and listen to them for each channel and make sure that no back channels were lost. For example, back channels is what you typically would find, although by and large these are going to be silent. So, so you can start checking by, well, you know, you can order it in any way you like, but start with the first channel and go through it entirely. I would recommend, I've found that it's easier when you're checking and you're trying to make sure the boundaries are right for a speech segment. I would recommend, like, say this one, go down here to the transcription tier and select that. So that when you play, you're certain that when it stops, you've caught the whole speech signal for that utterance and you haven't lost any signal information. Otherwise, it's liable to keep on running and you might not notice where it finishes. So it takes a little time, but alternatively, you could just listen to the speech segments again and make sure everything's correct for those, and so you could just hit.
Hi everyone again.
And then,
like before, we
like that, and then go back and check the silent regions. If you want to make your job a little more interesting, do it in different ways on a different day, as long as it gets done. So
are you checking what's actually been transcribed already, as well as the silence?
Yeah, you're doing, so that's the role of the checker, is to check what's said in the silent regions, in the speech regions, and then make sure nothing was lost in the silent regions. You're also responsible for resolving any uncertainties that were marked by the original transcriber.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, of course, there are going to be many situations where you, like the first transcriber, can't make any sense of it. And in that case, it will be up to you to use the at symbol. And that can be used to represent one unintelligible word or multiple intelligible words, but just use one at symbol. exactly. And so, that once you go through all the speech regions and all the non-speech regions, and that you could make another step of doing a search using going under the edit menu, you can do a search for find a place for open parentheses, and that'll take you to that the first transcriber might have marked out, so there's one, and then you can just resolve those all one by one,
right,
as a different set of changes together, and likewise for the double question marks. Just once you've gone through and resolved all the open parentheses, you can do the same for double question marks, and like I said, if you can't make any sense of it, then just use the at symbol. If you can, just give it your best guess in these cases.
How much would you want? I had a few times where I thought, well, it could be this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not entirely sure that it could be, because it could be a combination of something else, put the guess down or leave it as ambiguous in some way.
Yeah, it's... If you're quite certain, then I would go ahead and type what you think is said. If you think that there's
a chance
maybe
that
30% chance you're wrong or more.
It's usually a context problem, because
yeah.
I think
yeah.
sometimes if it's not intelligible, you either tend to, because you really want it to fit the context,
mm-hmm.
You tend to take the closest actual word that would fit the context, or if it, sometimes it sounds very clear as a word itself, but then wouldn't make sense at all, and then you question, you know, second guess whether it's really what you heard.
Right. So maybe a good idea would be to listen to each channel one by one, listen to the silent and non-silent regions and make all those corrections. Leave the unknowns, the ambiguities, the uncertainties until later. So go through all the channels and do that, and then you should have the context
yeah.
from all four speakers,
mm-hmm.
and then go back and do those searches one by one for each channel. How would that be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely.
Okay.
Make sure the passage
depends on
what they're talking about.
You'll know all too well what we said in this meeting.
Saying
yeah. Yeah, I think that would be really helpful. That would help us nab a good number of those uncertainties.
So if there's a chance that it's equally likely that they could have said something, or they could have said something like I scream, then just choose one and leave it.
Choose one. Think of it from a speech recognition point of view, again, and always. This should
be robust.
Yeah, what is most robust for speech recognition? And read out.
We just started our speech recognition assignment.
So you're well geared towards this task.
It's always fun. I've done that too.
So I've gone
so
through.
Oh, no, I don't want to interrupt it.
Oh, no, no, no.
When I did my master's, I took SP1 and SP2 with Simon King.
You survived SP1 and SP2.
Yes. And I've done quite well in SP1. I've done a bit worse in SP2 because it was a lot more challenging.
We have two new teachers for SP2.
Okay.
Too many. And
yeah.
I'll ask you later on, like, for something else.
Okay. Back to the topic.
Okay. So, this is one I've gone through. I've just done one channel. And there were lots and lots of things, as you can see, because I've got some square brackets around all the things that need to be changed. So, this person didn't know about capitalization. So, just about every utterance needs to be capitalized and punctuation.
You know when you get like someone's talking and there's sort of pause in the middle of a sentence that's long enough for it to put a break in,
yeah.
but they're actually sort of carrying on the sentence. Do you have to capitalize each time you transcribe a bit?
No. Whatever makes sense to you.
Okay.
but no, it can continue into the next
yeah.
segment. And
so
I think that's actually the only case where you don't. Or were you not supposed to capitalize, right?
Right.
So if it's quite clear that the sentence is being carried on, the sentence from the previous segment is being carried on, then that's when you don't capitalize. Otherwise,
you
do.
And you only use the hyphen, I think, when the sentence is definitely not continuing.
Yes.
Anymore.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'll
yeah.
Wrong then.
I'll review some of these things after I go through this a bit, just to recap. These are things that after checking everybody's work, these are things that were commonly left out
mm-hmm.
or
okay.
mistranscribed, whatever. So I'll go over those as an opportunity to use the whiteboard. okay, so this person left out a lot of end punctuation, and here's a case where I think she was transcribing an out-breath. Or possibly an in-breath, and use the hash mark. In any case, I didn't hear anything, and you shouldn't be transcribing in-breaths or out-breaths.
Okay.
That's information we don't need.
Like before, I have to redo the meetings from the minutes from the last meeting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, true. You know, this is the headset. Mike, I heard something there. It was a pretty
voice.
Yeah, it was pretty. So
it was really connected to the word,
really. Yeah.
And sometimes you don't know really whether it's a mic noise or that person is making that noise.
Yeah, well, I didn't think it was a.
And so here we go. Oh. like before we I have to redo the meetings from the mid.
Yeah, this was actually quite a bit more than before. This is so I heard a creaky voice and it was audible of the level and the rest of his speech, so I would keep that. That's good. Oh, okay. I was adding that. That's okay. There you go. So there's things like that. There's a missing false start here that didn't get caught.
Meetings from the minutes from the last meeting.
So I added that in. So that's something that's quite common.
Okay.
Transcriptions I've looked at missed false starts, missed.
And how exact you have to be there, because you know, some people tend to stutter more than others, and then they would have a false start 4 or 5 times in a row. And how important is it to listen to it really until you've got the exact number of the things right?
Try to get it right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think syllables should be accounted
yeah.
for.
Okay, sometimes they go, you know, like that, and then you're not
yeah.
really sure whether
well,
it's 3 times or 4.
There is one speaker, Melissa, just played for me today, and he stutters horribly. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's really going to be a nightmare to transcribe, so you will have to draw the line somewhere. But if it's say 4 repeated, so words repeated 4 times, then that's not too hard to count.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't come across anything exceeding 4.
Yeah.
Have you?
Well, it's not that the word is, if the word were, the whole word were being used 4
mm-hmm.
times,
mm-hmm.
that wouldn't have been that difficult. But sometimes it's just a false start, which is really just maybe 1 or 1.5 phones,
uh-huh.
and then repeat it, and then you don't really know whether 1 is a long duration of 1 or whether it's actually 2.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that kind of thing. So it's, I think it was a word starting with D, and the person was going da 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 da. You know.
Yeah. Make your best guess.
Yeah.
Try to listen to it carefully enough, but not so that you're obsessing over it for too long, I would say.
And sometimes if it does, you're thinking, are you anticipating a d, or you're trying to say the, and you're just saying the.
Right. Well, there again, think about robustness in
yeah.
speech recognition. Mm-hmm. And it really doesn't matter. It's a word fragment.
Well, speaking about
you're marking it as a fragment, and that's
yeah.
what's important.
Yeah.
Speaking about robustness, that if somebody has an accent that you can only really understand what they're saying due to world knowledge, that what they say it doesn't really actually sound at all, you know, what it is, then do you transcribe more phonetically, or do you put a star after every single one word, or?
I wouldn't be using the star so liberally.
Yeah, that's what I thought, that you're not supposed
speaker.
To do it, but there's one I'm transcribing right now, you know, a whole batch of dialogues where all 4 participants are non-native, and there's especially one there that I think he's Eastern European, and I think that's the only reason I can understand what he's saying at all, because I'm Eastern European, and but if you would just play it, I think, to a recognizer, then what he says, you know, the way he realizes words sounds
mm-hmm.
nothing at all like it should be.
Well, right. I mean, and for that matter, a lot of native English
yeah.
speakers' realizations aren't going to
yeah.
be so true too.
I try to take consistency. If they always stress the wrong part of
yeah.
the word, then I think, okay, I'll let that in.
Yeah.
If it comes out and like one word is...
No, it's less of a stress. It's really like I don't know, just the phonemes sounding differently.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't bother to mark all of those instances.
Well, you can't really, because it won't be all of it.
Yeah, they're you're going to find that for any speaker. You have exactly realizing these things. And it's just like Fiona was saying, that the word that stands out is something really aberrant. Like, I'm thinking of... I've used this example before. There's a guy who says project instead of product.
Oh.
And it's something like project.
Yeah.
And it's probably just his pronunciation.
Oh, I think I've transcribed him and I had project at all.
Yeah,
Evolution
They're clearly
criteria.
talking about a product, so I marked that as a mispronunciation or something to a flag anyway.
And one guy who was saying evolution each time he meant
evaluation.
And it
Yeah,
took me a whole dialogue.
I remember that. That one I would flag just like you did. That's something definitely to mark.
Yeah, but that's really something I would always transcribe it, you know, for lack of better knowledge or lack of context. And then at the end of the dialogue, it dawned on me that he actually meant evaluation.
Yeah.
And then I went back and replaced replaced it in the whole transcription.
That's good. That's good.
Well, we have a lecture, but I can never quite tell if he's saying problem or program.
Program.
Program. and I can't actually say it when I'm listening to him. I can't tell.
Alright. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about certain speakers.
Yeah, basically,
it's just
I think just do your best and hope for the best.
I'm not involved in this.
Okay, so.
That'll give some transcriber headache.
Yeah.
Well, we have both headset and lapel transcription, so not too bad.
I won't be transcribing it. Right there.
Yeah, let's have Monica transcribe.
Okay, so there have been lots of missed field pauses. Everybody seems to miss those, some more than others. So just really keep an ear out for those.
It's easy to because you're so used to tuning them out. And you know, when I go back over, I normally like go back to the beginning and do a quick pass of the main sections again and think, oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure I missed them plenty myself. But this second pass, we should really try to
Sorry, I'm just seeing this with a TV. There is T_V_. I thought we're just supposed to use the underscore between letters.
No?
That's what I thought the first.
Okay, sorry, then I've done it wrong so far.
Okay. Yeah, it should be after every.
Okay.
You standardized all the field pauses of the art, and do we need to go through and change ones that people did differently? Like if I were ever an ER of. Change it all to new range.
Yeah. So at this point, the only file that's been checked is Melissa, one that Melissa did, and that wasn't checked by me. So we're starting fresh with these, and you know, changes like that that were just announced, we'll be able to catch these first passes.
Okay.
So yeah, if you do see something like UHM for you can change that to the regularized version. And we just, you know, this is arbitrary, but we had to choose something and not let it get too convoluted. choice. Here's
so if it falls, just where you've got it highlighted at the moment. That was the hyphen. So I have to redo the meetings from the minutes from the last meeting. Was that a real definite I'm starting a new sentence here? Because I sometimes, if it sounds like I can carry on saying the whole sentence, I sometimes don't have a hyphen there.
But it is a backtrack.
Okay. So it's not necessarily restarting the sentence.
Yeah, I think of it in terms of, you know, not even maybe to, well, if you think of it in terms of a syntactic tree, it doesn't have to go back all the way to the S note, but it's just, it might go back to the last
just
note or something like that. Yeah.
Thank you.
I thought that was, if somebody that didn't know about linguistics are trying to transcribe S
notes. It's just my way of knowing, sorry, because linguistics is all I've ever known.
Here's a, so that answers your question. That answers your question about the smell. Okay. Here's where I heard another d sound, another false start, or stutter.
On this new remote. And it's the same message, of course, to the TV. It should have 9 channel buttons, next button, volume buttons, some title buttons. switch to control the features, color, contrast, sharpness, etc. The image, what is name? Straighten her favorite personal features she would like see to be integrated in this.
And there was a vowel in there, but you know that's the she just used the d, and that's fine.
What's the C? Is that a
she would like C?
She
definitely
integrated in this in this new remote.
Ready for an app, etc. Is that how we're supposed to be writing it?
Yes.
What is that?
Yes, she's so she spelled it wrong.
Where?
Up here.
Oh, etc.
Yeah, so I mentioned that because it's fine. And yes, any.
Is it one word or is it two words?
It's one word.
Okay.
So I just said spelling.
I thought it would be
it's
like at Ali.
Sorry?
But isn't it in Latin like et cetera, like et ali, or?
Like eighties.
No, like, at, you know, when you have a citation and you say et al,
mm-hmm.
means and others, et al, et ali is the full word, and et cetera means and following, so.
In the dictionary,
yeah.
It's one word.
Oh, and it is,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you have any questions about spelling, I think I'm I sent an email to this effect, just check the Oxford English Dictionary.
Okay.
That will be our guide. So, as far as I know, this is just missing an E set to. But anyway, you can. We've considered experimenting with running this through a spell check. You can take this as an Emacs file and run a spell check on it. But I think it would slow things down.
Yeah.
So just hopefully in going through this very carefully, you're going to notice these misspellings.
Yeah, I think if somebody could write, I don't know how difficult it would be in practice to write a script that would ignore all the word fragments, anything with a hyphen, then a spell check might make sense. But to just use simple Emacs, it will basically mark all the word fragments for you. And you know, and I know from experience, at some point you also get negligent, you just click okay, you know, that's not a mistake, and then you might miss a real error, so it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think you're right. So we will just hope that you catch it. That's what we'll do.
Yeah, let's see.
Okay, so.
To be integrated
sorry.
In. She would like to.
So I think she didn't catch.
She was cutting off rather than saying she'd like to see something.
Okay. I think she meant to use the infinitive, but she just left off.
But since C is an actual full
word,
shouldn't there be a space between C and the hyphen?
A space.
not to be pedantic.
She would like C.
After the C and the hyphen, shouldn't there be a space?
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
Okay.
That was what you were talking about.
Let me save that.
Okay. What else? Be careful about finding mistranscriptions. So,
the word and
buttons. She presented also an oversized remote. Which she guarantees nobody will ever be able to lose.
So she transcribed that as wood.
But sometimes it's really difficult. Sometimes we really don't know whether it's saying will or would.
Well, I think it's quite clear.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously.
But if it's not clear, do you just pick the more grammatical alternative or?
No, you try to keep it as
true
to
if it's really absolutely not clear,
then you
when they say wood instead, you know, some people. When they just swallow up the last bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you just then transcribe
I'd
what?
I'd like to hear it, because it sounds like it could be a fragment.
Yeah.
I just have to hear it. You don't want to be prescriptive and
yeah.
like what you think they should have said.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know the type of scenario you're describing. I think it's just hard to answer that without knowing something.
That one should be capitalized.
Yeah, they should all. I stopped marking.
Okay.
I'm just assuming that.
Should it? Could the lose is continuing from one second.
Oh,
oh
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, right.
No.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, and then, what's that? But very personal, another mystical start.
Her favorite, really, she would very much like to see.
There is creakiness on the sheet, but you don't need to mark that as a separate sound.
Sometimes I play butts after like words after laughter, I play them capitalized because I'm not being sure if the laughter's been cutting everything off.
If it sounds like the laughter is just interrupting an utterance that continues after the laughter, I wouldn't worry
okay.
about capitalizing.
So what about if a whole utterance is uttered while laughing? Do you put the laughter in front, or when that happens, what I do is I put laughter in front, then the whole sentence and laughter in, you know, at the end as well.
If you
so
hear just laughter on either side,
yeah,
do that.
No, it's laughter throughout.
Yeah.
Some people laughing themselves silly at absolutely nothing while they speak.
Okay, so laughter during speech. I'll talk to listeners.
Because in the ICSI dialogues, they always say, you know, while laughing, and we don't do that. So they say either, so there it's really not ambiguous whether it's just laugh followed by a normally spoken utterance, or whether it's an utterance spoken while laughing. And there is a distinction there, and we don't have that.
No, we don't have any
yeah.
qual times they use, but I'll figure that one out and
okay.
put it up on the wiki or email. Good question. I can across that as well. Let's see.
Is speech recognizer integrated in this remote? Industrial designer.
Yeah, I don't know what that noise was indicating. We can skip on other types of things I need to point out.
And how it works, you press the button and the chip is Morse code related, relays the to the generator amplification. And the circuit board is very inexpensive to build, and so she thinks this is a great feature to consider.
So cute. I don't know, she's the person that calls circuit.
Did she say circuit?
I'm not sure.
So would you have been tempted to say an asterisk?
If it's her, I just caught the end
board.
Of
it. The circuit board.
No, not for that one. So
yeah.
I have one person who said circuit.
But
oh,
then
okay.
But then I wouldn't put an asterisk on it. I thought asterisk is something where it's pronounced as a totally different word, like evaluation and evolution.
No, not necessarily. No,
okay.
It's just something that the speech recognizer is labeled to trip up on.
Yeah, because this is a very frequent mistake that non-native speakers make, to say circuit instead of circuit.
That may be, but I've probably decided. Depending on how different the vowel sound was. It's going to be your call in a lot of these
something
cases.
Like I took that one because it was, well, the language teacher wouldn't like allow that to move on to the next day. They wouldn't let that pass. Sort of.
Okay.
Or I think if somebody that I point out to them.
Here's a case of where I found a case of discontinuity.
She would like, this whole thing should be push buttons.
But, you know, because she's a non-native English speaker, I don't know. Maybe that was grammatically unmarked for her. You know what I mean? Maybe that wasn't her restarting. Maybe she did that.
Because otherwise you could end up putting a hyphen after every hesitation mark that you have.
So again, I don't know. That was my reflex at the time to put that there, but
just a prosodic marker rather than an actual pole. Hesitation.
Yeah.
As in that whole, like,
simple chip. She would like this whole thing should be push buttons.
Oh, yes, sorry. I didn't expect to actually the sentence.
Is push buttons two words?
Yeah.
I used one word.
I would like it as two.
Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna skip ahead. Oh, let's see.
Should be battery operated, and of course we have the special case.
So I hear she would quite clearly.
Yeah.
There. And then I think a good number of them you'll be able to resolve.
Okay.
Just helps to have the context and the.
Well, it could be she would or should as well.
Well.
Okay.
Yes, it can be a lot of things.
Marketing expert who has to finally come up with to market this product.
So there's another case where there wasn't a space between a non-word fragment and a restart. Okay, what else? There's an extra little symbol in here. It's just kind of carelessness. So even if it's something as brief as we're going to go ahead and capitalize that. Monica asked me what to do in case of an utterance just consisting of laughter. Do we use punctuation in these cases? I haven't done it. I don't know. I think
it's just too silly.
Yeah.
It's not linguistic.
I'm just thinking of, you know, a utterance consisting entirely of laughter and then putting like punctuation and like, ha-ha.
I was going to have fun just going with that.
Sorry.
If you start a conversation with a common room, right? If it has to be linguistic, then they could come up with clearly.
Okay, there just really wasn't enough to
transcribe. What I really
want. Yeah, because it was really just silence and you asking the person to just get rid of it.
Yeah, so like I said, click down here just to, if you haven't done that trick already, and that won't play in surrounding segments. So there's nothing there with transcribing.
The random yes, like with having a hyphen before because of.
Scroll up a little way.
Yeah, that second one from the top. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to go back and find the places where I've had someone pausing and then saying, yeah, and then this, I've not had, I need to go back and find.
Oh, so you haven't put I put a hyphen in it?
Hyphens or commas?
Commas?
Yeah.
Actually, when I, a couple of times when I repeated a word, I've put a comma between them. Should that be no comma?
Commas are fine. Eventually they're going to be extracted globally, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, we can just wipe them out.
Okay. So I get quite prolific with my commas at times.
I am too. I like commas. And then Steve Reynolds, who's project manager, had a look at, I think it was my turn. What is commas doing in here? But he didn't, ultimately, it was a problem.
Okay, cool.
They'll help in the case of discourse marking, but his point was that they're really subjective and something that. You, the transcriber here.
Yeah. Just to make sense of a sentence.
Yeah. I really like using commas.
I read somebody's PhD proposal yesterday and like, well, you could have a comma in here and one there.
What is cutest spelling?
She spelled cutest with an I. So
oh, okay.
That's pointed out. Okay, what else? So here's, let's see, this is
that one step behind. Evaluation criteria.
So
So she typed hour, and I didn't quite hear that, but.
No, well, at least with that evaluation criteria.
But you can see how it could have been.
Well, if she were Cockney, then.
Sorry. That evaluation criteria.
Yeah, sometimes you get like, you're not sure if it's an
A
or
A.
Yeah, or not.
Right. And you can never know, but
yeah.
If it fits well enough as an indefinite article, then
yeah,
you might as well.
So
okay.
Which did you just?
Oh, I was suggesting that it be instead of hour.
No, well, at least with that evaluation criteria, which.
But
ML released.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Oh, well, wow.
I don't know. Well,
there's a production about.
I hear the well, yeah. Mm-hmm. But this being the headset, my channel may make it easier to hear. She trusts everything on the helmet.
I've had one person with a dodgy headphone when.
Oh,
do something like most of the time it's as if they've got the handover or something.
Oh god. And you transcribe that speaker entirely?
Yeah.
If that comes
yeah,
up again, we've got headset mic files now. In fact, they replaced all the Mattel mic files on the MNM server with headset mic files, which we weren't asking them to do, but anyway, they did it. So now we don't have the Mattel mic files. Apparently the headset microphones are just a bit louder,
right.
So you've probably found yourself turning the volume down considerably, but apparently other than that, they're just as good.
Right.
But let us know, because we can retrieve them.
Yeah, with some people, it actually leads to some really screeching noises because they're so loud, or probably the mic is so close. I had this one, in one of the first dialogues I did, this guy called Ed, you could always see the waveform actually, you know, being just hitting the boundaries on both ends, and just being at some points just black fragments. And when he was talking, there was this whole, like, you know, when you speak too close to a microphone, and that was really horrible.
A lot of people that say, is this on? And I hit it a few times.
Okay. I don't think I'm going to go through the rest any more of these, because I think I've gotten through most of the types that I meant to point out.
How about names that somebody says the name of somebody? Who? And you don't have to spell their name
right.
If you heard the right name.
Right.
Mr. Red.
Sorry?
Oh, I had one guy, one of the project managers, was he had a really weird accent, and he was calling one guy Mr. Red. His name was Ed, and it took me a whole time to find out that it was actually Mr. Ed. No, but that it wasn't one word, that it wasn't like some proper name starting with M.
Mr. Ed?
I've been looking at some guidelines for another corpus, and I did see something about proper names, so I'll have a look at that and see how we can help.
But don't you guys have this data? Know the people's names, like when you collect the data, and people filling out a form or something.
It's coming from IDEAP in Switzerland. Yeah, it should be easy enough to get, but it's one other step, you know, emailing somebody to find out who knows this information.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's.
No, but it's information that we theoretically have.
Yeah, because everyone signs a consent form when they participate in the experiment. So we have to be able to get.
We didn't sign one.
But we should also have a means of dealing with proper names when we don't know what it is or how it might be spelled at all, and flagging that in some way. So I'll try to address both these.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What was Mr. again? I can't remember seeing how to.
Mister.
Just type Mister. Fully.
M-I.
Yeah.
No.
M
I S T. Yeah. And same with Mrs. M I S S.
U.S.
Mrs.
The Mrs.
check the dictionary. That's
Mrs.
Yeah, you would never type the abbreviated spelling.
What if somebody calls themselves Ms.? I mean,
no,
it's not that it ever happened,
I'm
but
sure there's a spelling in
the
OED.
So, what about foreign words? What do we do when we're checking? if we come up with something.
Oh, right, so the transcriber's enclosing everything in carrots.
Yeah.
And what you would do is.
Oh, it was French, so you had to.
Yeah, that's a good question because you will be leaving question marks there.
Yeah. I mean, if it's in carrots and then it's barley, does that matter?
it shouldn't because things are going to be left, like the asterisk will be left for the
process and
the subsequent processing. But carrots with question marks in between would have to be resolved in some way.
Or could we just change it to an at between the carrots?
Yeah.
Because it's unintelligible.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose that's all we can do, really.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be polygraph.
Oh, so even if we know what the word means, we're not supposed to.
Oh yeah, yeah. If it's a foreign word and you know what it is, just enclose it in carrots.
Yeah, because I have. There's one dialogue where I think two speakers are French. Like one is definitely French, and I know she's saying, and then somebody's saying something to her, and she goes, "Come on," and then you know that. So.
Yeah, if you're
yeah.
confident, you get a fair grasp on French. It's simple.
No, not really.
Translating the process.
Yeah.
Okay. There's just one other thing. She typed okay in caps.
Oh yeah, I saw it.
Capital K. No, huge no. I don't know why she missed that in the guidelines.
I mean, I just as O.
Okay.
Not as a okay A Y.
It is okay A Y.
A Y. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it will be your job. So you catch all of these points in the bones.
So no,
yeah.
No transcriber will be checking.
No
checker will be checking
their
own transcription. Yes.
Yes.
So
no transcriber will be checking.
We will catch these things more efficiently, I think. And I'll just go to the board.
Oh yeah, because every time somebody would be going over there, you'd hear all the sound.
Yeah, I can hear the chairs moving and the.
And about five or six breaks in between as they're making their way.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess just for the sake of using the whiteboard, I'll just write down the things that are most common to be checked. So,
the whiteboard marker is a camera as well.
That's some.
Alright. Now, this is a list of things to do as the checker. So, you want to listen to the silent regions. Then check the speech regions. And as part of that, you want to check the boundaries. And, oh, by the way, this should be transcribe any missed speech. And what else? Okay. And within this, checking the speech segments you want to listen for, or look for missed. Punctuation, fill pauses, words, and stuttering. And if you have a stuttered word, you don't need to use the hyphen to mark discontinuity. It's just so if somebody says the, then it's just the. Words and false starts. Short words, make sure the words like the and the articles and that kind of thing don't get omitted. Short words and word fragments.
those are the commonly missed things. And then look for cases of missed transcription. Seems so silly to me. Missed transcription, so make sure if the speaker said will, you type will, not would, or if they say we, you might be more grammatically correct to type we're, that kind of thing. That cases of ellipsis where maybe the transcriber typed them, but really what was said was And look for capitalization. I'm not going to. I'm going to do any more of this. Capitalization, spelling, use the OED to check on things you don't know about. Refer to the wiki for all regularized spellings and things like filled clauses.
I just remembered one.
Oh, was that?
Okay, when it's just a K, but it's at the beginning of a sentence. Should the K be capitalized?
No. Well, apostrophe and then K-A-Y.
And then, yeah, capitalize the K.
That marker smells really bad.
I think
it
smells really good.
You've been doing this too long.
I used to always like smell markers.
It probably became addicted to the fumes.
What else did I find? So the make sure the dash, the hyphen, whatever you call it, is being used appropriately in cases of discontinuity. But not in stuttering, like I said. and don't use it when the utterance is clearly continued in the next segment or whatever. Don't transcribe in breaths or out breaths. And okay should never be two capital letters. It should be okay. And one other thing is to break up long segments if you find any.
Over a minute.
Yeah, but that's a kind of crude guideline. I'd say just anything that seems unmanageable.
So if something is a minute and 3 seconds, I can still have it, right?
Yeah. Really, it means nothing to say a minute. It's just a really crude guideline. I would just try to keep segments very manageable. But use these waveforms to help you. And you can adjust the resolution so that that didn't help me too much, but you can use this little slide bar to adjust the resolution.
If you just click on one of the arrows.
Which?
In the resolution thingy. It will. Yeah, on this one?
Yeah.
No,
not that one.
No,
yeah,
the
that
other
one.
This one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So.
Yeah. Oh, and you can also, if you go to Signal and. It's something under signal where you can adjust the amplitude as well on resolution.
Okay, right.
And then you can also wait. No, I think that's not. If you go to control panel, signal control panel. No, signal control panel. The vertical zoom, you can adjust that as well. So if it seems too flat for you or you can't.
Oh, right. That's good. Okay.
All right. I had nothing. I was hearing stuff, but there was nothing on my waveform. I had to find where everything was.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know.
Control panel.
Yeah, so to help you make cuts, just look, use this waveform and make sure you're not losing any signal information. But cutting segments down is a low priority, but it will help ultimately, I think. Post processing wise,
I don't have gone a bit far in cutting mine down at the moment.
Yeah, don't get excessive about it because that just ends up taking too much time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think from a speech recognition point of view, it shouldn't matter. Segments being whatever length that they need to be.
Right.
I've seen other people's transcription guidelines, like for the ICSI project at Berkeley and elsewhere, say, indicating that it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
The point is just to get them into manageable.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Easier to checking it rather than to a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's the best reason for cutting them down. But hopefully, that will be done during the first pass, because that's the whole point. Making the checker's job a little easier. And then, yeah, just be sure after you've gone through the four channels to do a search on all the unknowns, all the pieces of ambiguity or whatever. And what else was I going to say? The way we'll be allocating this is the same as before. It's going to be on the same
allocation,
the same page. Just further down, scroll down, you'll see all the files. And I've already allocated some things to be checked. So if you run out of work, go ahead and start checking, because this is something that's considerably bottlenecked at the moment.
So is this the priority then?
Yeah, I'd say for now, we don't even have much new stuff to be gone over for a first pass, so it's important that we do this second pass. And I've indicated in the column whether something is priority. I think it's high priority. So those would be the ones you would focus on first, obviously. And you don't want to change the file name in any way. Just keep it the same. There's going to be a checking in procedure. I don't know if anybody's mentioned this before, but you'll know about this with the CVS server.
Yeah.
So
well, I don't know about. I know about this for the summarization. I haven't done this with the transcription.
Right, but it'll be similar. But they're creating a guy Jonathan is creating a web form. For you to do this all very simply, just upload everything that you've upload the file that you've transcribed, and you'll be noting whether it's the first pass or the second pass, and your name as the person who did that particular pass. And that will happen soon. I'll let you know.
So do we just open the file as we open the files from the first pass?
You'll have to. I would suggest creating a folder. Files to be checked or something like that.
In your home directory.
Yeah, and then within that create subfolders for the given meaning. And you'll have to get all the sound files, unfortunately, from the MMM server on your own, because the AMI server's not very reliable for getting these sound files uncorrupted. So you'll have to get all the sound files from the MMM server, and the person's transcription file should be in that folder where you're putting yours.
Okay.
And then you'll just, you'll copy that over. Don't move it over, because you want to have multiple versions of these things. But yeah, copy it into your directory and keep the same name. And then when you check it in, it will automatically be registered, even though the first pass was checked in when we're doing this checking in business. It will know which pass it is, but I think you'll also be indicating that as well.
Vaguely connected question.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, when we first applied to say yes, we didn't do this, it said 6 weeks, and the contracts say 8th of May, which is longer in advance than. Which is a greater amount of time than 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's actually 6. What is it? Is it 3 months? I think.
I've got a 3 month contract. Yeah.
They're 3 month contracts, and now if you can't keep that, that's fine. But
okay.
It's just a logistic thing with personnel,
right.
Where we had that was the minimum we were
okay.
To offer a contract for. So if you have to go out, let us know as soon as you know when you.
It gets into
stuff.
The holidays and
obviously those kinds of things things will have to work around, but it's just
checking.
Once we actually get into the Easter holidays, because we're having lectures at the moment, can we be more flexible with our hours if we want to?
I should think so.
I mean,
the whole point of keeping well, as long as you're able to work out use of your computer and the other person. That's fine.
Okay.
The whole point of having regular hours was to make sure that somebody was here to answer your questions.
Sure.
But you've got keys.
Yes.
So you should be able to get in during odd hours if you want to.
And if you can plug microphones into Apple and Tower computers, I'm keeping it there.
Yeah. I don't see why not. As long as you doing your
Taking
set of hours or
something.
I think you'll all be paid.
Have you not? I'm having sorts of tax stuff out before I can send my stuff in, because
okay.
I need to make sure I'm sending in the right form.
Okay.
But they wanted to know what examining board I got my A levels in.
Really?
Yeah, for human resources. I thought, surely you don't need that information, because it was about to take me half an hour. Well, it did when I was like just going through the forms and filling in all the details. I thought, I'm not going to spend a couple of hours getting photocopies of degree certificates to give you for your files if I'm just going to be here. I think at one place it said give us copies of degrees. Oh, maybe I'm getting mixed up with something else, but it wanted a A level like examining board, which seemed a bit ridiculous.
If you have any problems like that, see Caroline Hastings. I mean, if it's
right.
For this job and you're getting paid, that's not necessary. And Caroline Hastings is probably right.
Excuse me.
But also, if pay is another, like if it's meant that you haven't gotten paid, I hope that's not.
Yeah, I haven't gotten paid for the first 2 weeks because I only have a 3 month contract starting February, but I started mid January.
Talk to Karen.
Yeah.
Because I really don't know why that would be. I'm here full time now, so
okay.
I'll be here Monday through Friday. And I leave at 4 now, so
okay.
You won't find me anytime after that.
Right. Is your husband now a stay-at-home dad?
Yeah.
Oh, so it is your baby then.
Yeah.
Well, assumes this. How old is that?
He's 4.5 months.
Oh.
Very lovely.
He's sleeping through.
Yeah, that's the question I was just going to ask.
Yeah, well, only as of Friday, actually.
Wow.
I was just telling Melissa this. Do you want us to stop?
Do you think you're done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The tapes are about to run out.
Yeah.
Oh, good. That worked out well.
I was telling Melissa that.
Do we have to tick on everything again when we finish this?
Oh,
to say that we've